Today on Real Life Radio.
If you're a believer, the Holy Spirit cannot leave you. He will never take His Holy Spirit from you. The Holy Spirit has been commissioned at your salvation. The Holy Spirit came into your life never to leave. He can't leave. He's bound by the words of Jesus. I'm sure many days He feels like leaving, but He can't leave.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, now in a message called Theology and Me, Part 6, continues his series called The Why Series. The Bible tells us in Genesis that we were made in God's image. But as humans, really, who are we? And how can we apply what we know about God to our lives today? You see, God is near to us. So here's a question. Why do we push God away? Or why do we not include Him in our lives? Well, it's part of being human. We think we don't really need God. Our pride and our arrogance gets in the way of a true relationship with Him. But God, thankfully, never gives up on us. Instead, He reaches into our hearts to convict us and to convince us to let go of our sinful nature and then embrace His offer of salvation and live a life worth living. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us that the fruit that comes from a Spirit-filled life is love. And from love comes joy, along with a whole lot of other fruits of the Spirit. Even when everything else around us is making life quite difficult, God's love and all of its benefits will see us through. And now in his message called Theology and Me, Part 6, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
And as I mentioned last time, Theology and Me is the topic that we've been going in our Why series on these Wednesday nights. And we started looking at last time, and we'll finish off tonight, Theology and Me and how that all works. That the fact that theology, of course, really means theo, God, ology, the words or the study of God. Theology, big word, but that's simply what it means. What does the Bible say about who God is? And you read a moment ago that it's announced in the scriptures that He is near to all of us. And that is true. Tonight you can be so distant from God and a non-believer, you can be an atheist and you can, or an agnostic, and you can be pushing God off, the God that you don't believe in, you're fighting against, which always cracks me up, but you're pushing Him off, saying you don't believe Him, but you're constantly battling with the idea of Him, and maybe He does exist, and even in that, God is near you. Because He's reaching out to you and He's drawing you, and He does that by the Holy Spirit. And for us who are believers, the Holy Spirit is active in our lives, both in us and upon us in life. For the unbeliever, the Holy Spirit is alongside them, convicting them and pointing out the error of their ways with hopes that they'll repent of their sin, right? And call out to Him and receive His mercy and forgiveness. But when we talk about theology, it would be horrific if we studied all about God and never came to know God. I've shared with you before that I have friends who have gone to seminaries and Christian universities and have had unbelieving professors. And the unbelieving professors announce that they're unbelievers in the Christian university. And they tell the students on the first day, I'm a good teacher, I'm not a believer. That's why I was hired by this school. So don't witness to me, I don't need to hear it, I could preach it myself. So open up, let's study Isaiah, and they open it up, and it's like, are you kidding me? You can be a theologian and not be saved. You can be a Christian and not be saved. I'm reading the life of George Whitefield. It's an awesome book, incredible book. Did you know that man was schooled in theology? He was a trained minister of the Church of England, and he was ordained into the ministry. He was preaching Christ, and people were getting saved. And George Whitefield tells you later on that he wasn't saved himself. And he wound up bowing his knee to Christ well into the ministry life. The great George Whitefield. Is that crazy? That seemed nuts. But it's possible. Well, the thing that sets us, or I should say the one that sets us apart from this world, is none other than the work of the Holy Spirit. And when we look at this, and I mentioned it last time, I want to say it again, from Acts chapter 17, verse 28, when we looked at, for in him we live, we move, and have our being, those three dynamics, we saw that the New Testament church has a lofty place in the work of God. Because the Old Testament economy, church, you know that the Holy Spirit came upon the Old Testament prophets and then left them. I don't know if you know that or not. But the Holy Spirit never indwelt the Old Testament believers. That never happened, including David, including Abraham. The Holy Spirit came upon them. In fact, you know the song, which is from the Psalm. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Did you know that's Old Testament theology? It's not New Testament theology. If you're a believer, the Holy Spirit cannot leave you. He will never take his Holy Spirit from you. The Holy Spirit has been commissioned at your salvation. The Holy Spirit came into your life never to leave. He can't leave. He's bound by the words of Jesus. I'm sure many days he feels like leaving, but he can't leave. His job, if I can put it that way, is to get you into the presence of Christ. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And he uses the Bible. The more you have of your word or his word in you, the greater the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. And we saw this. We saw that theology in me means that we walk in the Spirit. We walk in the Spirit. And there's two great contrasts of life regarding walking in the Spirit. That we who are Christians are called by God to walk in the Spirit. And I did a little reenactment about walking in the Spirit. If you remember, I read a verse of the Bible and then I prayed that as I moved back and forth on the screen or on the stage, I should say. And that this is what it means to walk in the Spirit, to moment by moment practice his presence, to be having his word, memorizing his word, living his word. God does that. The other day, Monday, I went to Albertson Supermarket to get something. Poor Lisa, you need to pray for her. She sent me to get something like almond milk and bread. It was almond milk and bread. And about an hour and 20 minutes later, I got home. Why? Because a young man, I think his name was Robert, working at the store, recognized me even though I was masked up, because you can't go in. I don't wear a mask, but I have to put a mask on to go in the grocery store. And so I put the mask on, so I thought I'm kind of undercover, and I got the mask on, and this guy working there says, Pastor Jack, can I ask you a question? And so that thought was a great moment to take off the mask right then and there. And he said, I think God is stirring me up because I'm just terribly disgusted with how I live my life. And I don't want to live my life anymore like this. And I need a change. I couldn't believe it. It's like, somebody get a net. This guy's going to jump in. The fishing is great at Albertson's. And it's remarkable. And I was able just to share with him right then and there. Why? What's going on? The Holy Spirit had been working in his life. And he was sick of the life that he was living. And he wants to live a life of walking in the Spirit. And this is what the Bible says about that. In Galatians 5, verse 22, it says that, but the fruit of the Spirit, remember we talked on this last time, that the fruit of the Spirit, that's singular, is love. That's it. The fruit of the Spirit is love. It's technically not all those other wonderful things that follow love. The fruit of the Spirit, singular, is love. And from love comes all of the other beautiful attributes of the love of God in your life. Joy. Joy. You can't have joy unless you have the love of God in your life. There's just no way. The world works on happiness, and that's a tough one. Because happiness is based on happenstance. That's where it comes from. You have a happy day. Okay, I did not have a happy day until I got that phone call I told you about. But then I had to go right back to my unhappy day. But through the midst of the incredible unhappy day, I had joy. Joy doesn't change. It's not based upon what's going on. It's constant because it's in him. And it's a result of God's love in your life. Peace, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Why is that important? Because if you go up a little bit in chapter 5, this is what it will spare you from. This is what walking in the Spirit will spare you from. Verse 19, now the works, notice it's plural, the works of the flesh are evident. It means they're clearly seen. Here's the thing. When you were doing those things I'm about to read here in your old life, you didn't think any of those things were seen. You thought they were clearly veiled and hidden by you and me in our cleverness. When we lived in the world, we practiced sin, but we hid it. The thing is, God sees it all. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. So this is how you combat, or this is how you come out of, I should say, a life that is lived without the Lord, is we are bent on sexual immorality. It's human nature. We're born into this world with that appetite. Impurity, sensuality, idolatry, worship of things. Sorcery, Greek word pharmakeia. The word means hallucinogenic drugs. Isn't that weird? It doesn't mean Mickey Mouse with the hat with the crescent on it and mixing potions. No, it means that you enter into a world that unlocks the door into spiritual realms. Hallucinogenic drugs will do that. It's terrifying. Enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, revelries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom or will go to heaven. Why? Because he just described how the world lives. And I think it's safe to say that in the world in which you and I live in today, that several of those things are in reference to sexuality. I think sex is the new god in the world that we live in. It certainly seems to be the new god in America. Everything is sexualized and driven that way. And of course, pornography rules the day and ruins people's lives. And every chance I get, I want to say this. I don't know how to talk to women about it, but men, let's pretend there's no women here right now. You can buy books as long as your arm, they're out there. Libraries are filled, I think, of books regarding men and avoiding pornography. And I'm not knocking that. Those are probably some tremendous books. But I'm going to tell you right now, guys, and if this applies to women, then this truth is applicable to you too. And it is this. You can have all kinds of things on your phone. You can have all kinds of guards and apps and passcodes and all that stuff. And maybe you have to have that. That's fantastic. But the greatest way, I'm telling you right now, the greatest way to defeat that temptation is to literally, literally crawl if you have to, scrap if you have to, but get to the love of God. Listen, love God more than what the world has to offer. You can have all the safety things in place, and if you've got to do it, do it. But the greatest thing of all is that you love God more. In fact, Samson's thing is all about that. Think about Samson. Everything was about women. He had the power of God, but there's a woman. First word out of his mouth in the book of Judges is Samson. I saw a woman. He says to his parents, give me that woman. That's a weird request from a kid to a parent. But the weird thing is, it wasn't until the end of his life that he saw the value and the power of loving God more. You can save yourself a lot of grief by not walking in the flesh, but walking in the Spirit by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what I told that young man at the store. Don't do Christianity. Don't do it. Get into God's word and let the Holy Spirit do it through you. And that's the greatest power of the message of the cross in Christ, is that God does this. And when you realize, wait a minute, you know, all these sins that are punching me in the face and coming after me, and wait a minute, love God more and watch that stuff diminish and it vanishes away. You'll still be tempted by some other things, but those big mountains, God's grace can be shouted to it. And it's absolutely awesome. Listen, if God didn't grant that power, I'd quit this job, this calling today. Because that victory happened in my life over 45 years ago, where that was my life. That was my previous life. And God in his power came in and he showed me right up front. Because if you're all alone and you're away and there's nobody around and it's just you, you know what will keep you? Loving God more. The love of God. That's why you read a moment ago that there's no law that can keep you from that. You're freed from the law when you walk in the Spirit. The law is guidelines, and that's fantastic. But the Spirit of God transcends that in your life. Absolutely awesome. And then we saw that serving the Holy Spirit, serving by the Holy Spirit to the glory of God matters. In Acts chapter 1, verse 5, there the scripture says, "For John truly baptized with water," Jesus said, "but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And Jesus said to them, "It is not for you to know the times and the seasons, brethren, which the Father has put in his own authority." Verse 8 is the punchline. "But you shall receive power." Notice this. He's not talking about salvation. He's not talking about ordination. He's not talking about vision. He said, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria." And I love this. "And to the ends of the earth." Serving by the power of the Holy Spirit. And of course, Zechariah 4, verse 6. If you want to see it in Hebrew, it's out there in the foyer. When you leave tonight and you go out the foyer, on that great Jerusalem stone is a 7 lampstand menorah coming out of that stone. And in Hebrew, it says this very verse. "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power." That's not human might, and that's not human power. "But by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts." That's how God gets things done, is that his Holy Spirit working in and through your life does it. And the more you give up, and the more you see your weakness, the more God wants to use you. What an amazing kingdom we've been called to. God doesn't bring all these heavy lifters in and say, "Oh yeah, I'm going to use her and I'm going to use him. And they're super strong believers. They're super saints. This one prays 10 hours a day. And this one leads 5 people a day to Christ. And this one," are you hearing me? He doesn't do that. The man that's on the corner that beats his arm or his hand against his chest and says, "Be merciful to me, Lord, a sinner," Jesus said, "is the man that goes away justified before God." The man that can't do anything. Paul the apostle, who says, "I'm the chief of sinners." Paul said that. Paul's the one that also said, "I can do all things through Christ." Why did he say that? Because Paul was aware that he couldn't do anything without Christ. We revel in our weaknesses. God comes in and takes control. It's awesome, wonderful. We saw this last time, that we as believers are sealed by the Holy Spirit. I love this. Sealed. Ephesians 4, verse 30 says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption." That word sealed, listen to this. It means to set the seal upon, and the object is, in this case, you. So if you trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if you believe he died on the cross for your sins and rose again from the dead, and you've come to him, the Bible says you've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. Listen, it means to mark on or to identify as belonging to. I love that. In my little cartoon brain, I see a lot of my toys growing up because I would write my name on my toys. And I love the fact that God has inscribed, as it were, his name upon you as a believer by the Holy Spirit sealing you. Some of you need to embrace this and get excited about it, because sometimes you're so terrorized by doubt and fear. The Holy Spirit has sealed you. The word means that he has made you. This sounds kind of carnal in a sense, but the word is asset. He has sealed you as a material asset. Those of you who own companies, for example, there's equipment that you have that have an asset label on it. It's got a number on it, and it's got a label that, I mean, you can't take that thing off. And it's inventoried, and the company knows it, and you have this asset mark on that item. Well, God puts an asset mark on you. This child is owned by me, God says. This child is my family. My Holy Spirit is upon them. And he has sealed you unto the day of redemption. The word means to be secured, specifically against satanic and demonic powers. And I like one author said that the word seal here can also be translated sealed to conceal. And I love that. I am sealed by the Holy Spirit unto the day of Christ and my redemption. But my previous life out of Christ, right? My BC days before Christ, that world is concealed by the blood of Jesus. He not only seals you, but he takes your past and he removes it away. And you need to remember that. And then we're taught by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, we saw this in 1 John, that we have an anointing by the Holy Spirit. He teaches us. He's our teacher. And then tonight is where we're going to end with this final push. And that is regarding theology in me, is that we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit as believers. And from this argument, I'm going to fan out into a couple things that I hope is a comfort to you. When I talk about indwelt by the Holy Spirit, I'm talking about the indwelling, the coming in of the Holy Spirit. Some would say it's the baptism experience of the Holy Spirit. I want to be careful, everybody, how I say this. This is very technical. There is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, listen, which happens once in the believer's life, only once. Listen carefully. The baptism of the Holy Spirit means this, that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is to take the new believer at that moment and he baptizes, the Holy Spirit does the baptizing, and he places you into the body of Christ. Y'all get that? Listen. I'll give you some verses here in a moment. You say, wait a minute, I heard it the other way. Just wait, I'm not done. The Bible teaches that the moment you come to faith in Christ, you become a member of the body of Christ. You get that? It's called the church. We're all one. How does that happen? The Holy Spirit takes you and he baptizes you. He immerses you. Baptizo is the word, and it means to be completely submerged. How do we baptize people here? We hold them down. No, we hold them under. And if you've ever been to one of our baptisms down at the beach, some guys look more gnarly than most. I'll hold them down extra long. It's true. But I always tell them, they don't know. The family doesn't know. They're all looking on. And I'll tell them, look, don't worry. I'm going to hold you down a long time. No, sometimes if the woman looks gnarly, I'll do the same. I'll just hold her down. And it's kind of cool though, because when you bring them up, the people on the shore, they just go, yeah, that's great. I don't know if they're happy that they got their friend back from the dead or they're just celebrating the moment. But the fact is that the Holy Spirit takes your life and he puts you inside of Christ.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Life Radio, in a message called Theology and Me, Part 6. Thanks for being here today. Theology and Me, Part 6, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Why Series, a series that brings to light the foundation of human creation and why we exist in this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, Pastor Jack understands the challenges of living the Christian life, and that's why he offers such great spiritual content at his YouTube channel. Simply go to Real Life with Jack Hibbs on YouTube, and once you're there, you'll find Bible studies on specific books of the Bible, sermons on a whole lot of different topics, including the Holy Spirit. Pastor Jack also likes to talk about prophecy and how those prophecies relate to current events. You'll also hear news updates that really matter to you and a whole lot more. You can access Real Life with Jack Hibbs on YouTube or from our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.